Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, this morning, let's welcome some of the students back here with us this morning. Some of them, let's give them a hand. Praise the Lord. God is good. Let's read this scripture again. There's something I want to share before we pray for the tithes and offering. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, we read this last week. And why I show you this again, I'll tell you why. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God. Why was it more acceptable? Because he brought exactly what the Lord told him to bring. He brought animal sacrifice. More acceptable than Cain, where Cain brought vegetables, right? So in the very early days, you know, after Adam and Eve sinned against God, they were farmers, cattle farmers and vegetable farmers, right? And Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man. He did what was right before God because he did what the Lord told him to do. And God showed his approval of his gift because he brought by faith, so it was an approval. God approved, amen, because he brought by faith, because he heard from God, and he did what the Lord told him. And who instructed him to bring animal sacrifices? Jesus instructed Adam and Eve. After they sinned, Jesus came down to the Garden of Eden and sacrificed the first animal, probably two, right? Then took the skin to clothe both of them. From there on, tithes and offering has been taught from Jesus. Amen. That's why Job knows how to give offerings. And they gave offerings beyond the tithe. So altogether is inclusive in the offering. Tithes and offerings in the offering because he gave more than 10%. So although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. That's why he still speaks. And today he's speaking. After I shared this last Sunday, the Lord showed me something else. In fact, Abel brought, you know, according to Genesis, in great numbers and great quantities of animal sacrifice. The first fruit, first thing he harvested, the cattle and sheep, first thing he brought to the Lord, that's the first fruit, right? Then in Genesis chapter 4, verse 6, Cain brought the vegetables, but Abel brought the animal sacrifice, and great in numbers and great in quantity, and God was pleased. But God was not pleased with Cain, and Cain got angry. Abel's example of faith to us is that he offered great number, extensive quantity of animal sacrifices to the Lord. And that's what the Lord wanted. He also brought those sacrifices as the first fruit. But Cain brought vegetable sacrifice to offer to the Lord and God was not pleased. And his brother Abel pleased God, but he got angry. He didn't do what was right and he got angry. So after sharing Hebrews last Sunday, this past Tuesday, Wednesday, the Lord gave me something else to see in Genesis chapter 4, verse 6. Confirming what Brother Hagin said, way back in the 1980s, I've never seen it from the scripture before, but this time, for the first time, the Lord showed me in the scripture to prove what he said was right. Brother Hagin said this back in the 1980s. He said, kickers don't give, givers don't kick. He said, kickers don't give. He told some of them, oh, well, I'll give you back your dime, your nickel. They put nickel offering in there, they complain about this and that. One time there's an elder, he said, nowadays pastors' pay are getting too high. It's okay that he work in a secular, sinful world, he gets paid high, but pastors should not get high. He's kicking. When you don't tie, you don't put in your offering, you kick. How you kick nowadays? Why should pastor get 3% increase? You should get 1%. Why should you apply SQ? You should apply Scoot. Yeah, that's how you kick. You may not kill Abel, but you kick. Kickers never give. Bryan said when he was pastoring in the 40s, some people complained about preachers having too many good things, I paraphrase. He said those people who complained were people who put 10 cents in the offering. He said the one time, you know, because in those days, he go and preach in the church, or they take out the offering, they give it to the preacher. So he said sometimes there's only 10 cents in the offering. They were not givers, let alone tithers. So here, Cain brought vegetables and did not please the Lord, and he got angry with the brother. So when you do what is right, others don't do what is right, they get angry with you. Why pastor should get 3% increase instead of 1? Should get 1%. Why should you get more? Why pastor should ask you should be flying Scoot? So why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain, why do you look so dejected? You don't do what is right. You're not happy when other people do what is right. When other people do what is right and God bless them, you're not happy. Verse 7, you will be accepted if you do what is right. Now, he's talking about offerings, not anything else. If you do what is right, you'll be accepted. What is right? What God decides, you give. But if you refuse to do what is right, tithes is 10%. We don't change it. Some preachers say we don't tithe today because you read 2 Corinthians. No, tithes, you don't change it. God decides. You don't decide. Offering, you decide. We'll be accepted what is right. But you, now, this is what the Lord brought to me. I don't know if it's for who, for people here or for people online, okay? But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Listen carefully. Now, this whole context is about offerings that Abel brought, exactly what the Lord asked for, and he brought great numbers and great in quantity. That means he exceeded tithes, right? Watch out, sin. This word sin is now. It's not a verb. It's not the act of sin. It's now. It's at the door, crouching at the door. It's a personality. Who is he? Satan. After Adam and Eve fell, when God created the heaven and the earth, Garden Eden, Satan wasn't there. But after he fell, he no longer could take dominion over the earth. Satan came down. He said, the devil will be at your door. Now, this conforms to the scripture in Malachi 3. Say, you rob God, he will rob you. I told you, when I teach on tithes and offering, not because the church needs money. Amen. Sin, that's devil, is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master. But how can he subdue it? He couldn't. First thing, they lost the power of God to take dominion over Satan. Right now. Second thing, Jesus hasn't come. They don't have authority over the devil. So he could not control. But do you know God gave the earth to the human? God could not control the devil. What he's going to make you do, he will only warn you. He said, devil is at the door waiting for you to control you. But you must subdue it. But how? You can, right? But he didn't. God warned him. Do you know what happened? Verse 8. One day he killed his brother. That's what the devil was waiting at the door to control him to do. Amen. Why? Because he stole from God. Today you may not kill your brother, but you kick. Well, praise the Lord. I've never seen this from this scripture, what Brian Egan said. Kickers never give. So in other words, if you don't give, you kick the one who is giving. Then he more than kick, he killed his brother. Kill his own brother. Why? Because the devil is at the door. Sin is at the door, crouching at the door, waiting to control you. Right? So instead of doing what is right, the Lord actually warned him, sin is at the door. Can you imagine what someone would kill his brother for something his brother was doing right? You only watch this in dramas, you know. Drama, they would kill the brother because the king, the emperor favored the other brother, he would try to kill the brother. You watch that always in dramas. I never seen it from Cain and Abel's story. In other words, people do what's right, you want to kick. It's okay that you live well, you spend well, you have all the good things, but no, pastor shouldn't have. That's the mentality, right now. Huh? Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. But now you have authority to control. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy and grace. We thank you, Father. We bring our tithes and worship unto you. We thank you, Lord, acknowledging all that we have is yours. We thank you, Father, the offerings that we bring as seeds that we sow. We thank you, Lord, the word is always true. You always multiply back to us because when we do what is right, you are pleased. When you are pleased, by faith, we please God. It's impossible to please God without faith. With faith, we please God. We thank you, Father. When you are pleased with us, we thank you for your blessing flows. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone say, Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I like it. When the Lord gives me a revelation to deal with you, then you decide what you want to do. Amen. Praise God. I don't do things that God didn't tell me to do, so I don't deplete the church finances. I saw what happened. They go into all kinds of programs, and there's always no money. If God's program, God will pay. God don't pay, I shut it down. I learned that from my mentor, Kenneth Hagin. He said, who cares about the school? He said, shut it down. No money, careless, shut it down. Right? So it's the same. No money, I just shut it down. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. You can say, amen. You cannot just say, oh, me. So today I want to talk to you about 7 keys to highest kind of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen. The importance of faith, it pleases God, it's pleasing to God. Faith is essential to please God. As stated in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, not grace. Grace does not please God. Faith does. Faith will access His grace. Because God is a giver. When you can access His grace, it pleases Him. Else, grace is with Him. He have it. He couldn't give it to you. See that now? But it takes faith to access His grace. So the Bible never says without grace it's impossible to please God. But when we come before the throne of grace, we receive His grace. And from His grace, faith comes. And faith will access His grace and that pleases God. Amen. That's why Abel pleased God. He received from the Lord what he's supposed to bring. He brought in great quantities and numbers. First fruit. He didn't wait for the last fruit after he spent all and then he's brought to the Lord. First thing, he gave it to the Lord. Amen. So it's pleasing to God, the importance of faith. Some believers have higher levels of faith, making them more pleasing to God. Some more pleasing. Because God speaks to you, you won't walk, you don't develop your faith, We are not equal. We started equal after we are born again. We have the same measure of faith. The faith of salvation, that's what we have. But some have developed their faith. Thirdly, faith is taking God at His word. The highest kind of faith involves taking God at His word and getting results. Right now, so if we are without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6 says, some believers are more pleasing to God because their faith is higher than others. Stronger and higher. There are seven keys to attaining the highest kind of faith. Faith that takes God at His word and gets results. You have faith, what's the point? God is very practical. If His word doesn't produce results in your life, it's useless. God's word is not useless. It will produce fruit. Amen. Praise God. That's why we never lack. You know what faith? Faith says, if God's not in it, forget about it. They'll do all kinds of programs. Here, if God is not in it, we just don't bother, don't do it. Right? No money, don't do lah. Right? Not my church, it's God's church. Amen? Praise the Lord. So who cares about all kinds of programs? Who cares about numbers? Amen? So the first key, know the integrity of God's word. God's word is revelation as revelation. The Bible is revelation from God to us, His way of speaking directly to believers. It is God-breathed and contains a divinely inspired message. That's why God's word is the most important. Know the integrity of His word. That means His word is God speaking to us. And His word is living and powerful. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. Describe the word of God as a living and powerful. Even though you read, now Hebrews 4 verse 12, the word is logos. But yet, you know, when you read it, it gets into your spirit. It becomes living and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. It is a living entity that works in our lives when we accept it and act upon it. Right? You have to act upon it. Amen. God's word always have to act upon it. Right? And it's absolute. His word is absolute. Settling on the absolute integrity, you must be forever settled. His word is absolute. Once it's clear, it's absolute. There's no gray area. All right? Concerning His word. If you say there's gray area, means you don't understand what He's saying. Right or not? It should be of foremost importance in our lives, serving as a standard by which we judge every revelation and every prophecy. Amen. Care less whether he's a prophet or whoever. Whatever the word the prophet has spoken, you judge it by the word of God. Amen. If you don't know how to judge it, that's where the problem, you don't know the word. You get deceived. So the first key necessary to attain the highest kind of faith is to know the integrity of God's word. We must know that God's word is what it declares itself to be, because God is the word. The word is God. When He spoke, that's it. It's absolute. If His word is no good, then God is no good. Amen. The word of God is a revelation. That's why when we receive a word, the most important thing is receive a word and follow His leading. We will sure have results, good results. It should be of foremost importance. The word of God is a revelation from God to us. Is God speaking to us? You don't read the word, you don't have God speaking to you. You go and study the wrong word, you have the devil speaking to you. Each thing that is not of God, you are not hearing God's word. Amen. Worse, you spend money and go and study those stuff some more. The word of God is a revelation from God to us. It is God speaking to us. The Bible is God breathed and has a God-inspired message. The Bible is not written by inspiration of man. It is God breathed. Amen. Do you know what? It's like a sailboat. The wind blows it and push it along. That's how it was written. It's not inspired. There's a difference between God breath and inspired. God breathed to those authors who wrote the Bible. And we preach by inspiration. Amen. Bible is not they're inspired to write. No. God move upon them to write. Just like a sailboat. If the wind don't blow, the sailboat cannot sail. Amen. That's the difference. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful. The Greek word for the word here is logos, not rhema. Rhema means a spoken word. Logos means the written word. The written word, when it's read, it got into our spirit, it becomes living and powerful. Amen. So God's word is a living thing, and it works in our lives if we accept it and act upon it. Therefore, the first key to the highest kind of faith is to settle on the absolute integrity of God's word. That means once it said it, that's it. You change it, you pay the price. Amen. Just like Cain, why should you be angry? The Lord spoke. If you do what is right. Now the whole context was about Abel's offering. It pleases God that he brought offering of vegetables that did not please God, and God was not pleased, and he got angry with Abel. So when I'm pretty sure it's right, That's why I say, I'm settled, I settled. Right now, more important thing is God is happy. He's pleased with me. Why? He wants me to. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So the Word of God should be of foremost importance in our living, in our lives, because the Bible is God speaking to us. Now, we're talking about the Bible. The Logos, the written Word, is God speaking to us. How is He speaking to us? When you read it, the Holy Spirit take it and just 塞在我们灵里面了，不然的话只是文字而已嘛。 Become living. Amen. But you don't read how. You don't come to church. What you hear? All you hear is what's in the world. Amen. The world is very uncertain. Amen. I just read the news, Google News. U.S. economy is on the downturn already, suddenly. So the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. It separates your thinking from what's in your spirit. The Word of God will go in your spirit. It will separate what's in your mind. Amen. So how you distinguish the two, what's in your mind, what's in your spirit? That's where you must spend time in prayer. Once you receive a word from the Lord, you want to know whether it's from God, you spend time in prayer, right? You quiet down your mind, you pray in your own tongues, you learn to discern, you know, what's in your mind and what's in your spirit. Amen. So the word comes first. God speaks through His word. The Bible is God's primary means of communication with us. So aligning prophecies, any prophecy of revelation must align with God's word to be considered valid. Amen. You always remember this. Judging teachings. Once we know the Word of God and how to interpret the Scripture, we can discern which teaching are correct or not. Amen. So, second key is know the reality of our redemption in Christ. Know that we are redeemed from Satan's authority and we are placed in the family of God. And know that we are delivered from the kingdom of darkness and translated, we are in the kingdom of His dear Son. Amen. That you don't have always the unworthy feelings. Amen. Oh, I'm unworthy, you know. Or sin conscious. You won't. Because that will hinder your faith. Amen. So in Christ, we have been redeemed from the authority of Satan through the new birth. We are translated into God's kingdom. He placed us into His family, become partakers of His inheritance. You know why we should be blessed? Because that's our inheritance. Amen. If when you come to a point, you're at the age of 50, 60, you're in debt, you can't get out, something is wrong. You're not receiving your inheritance. Because when you're born again, you're a Christian for a long time, you ought to be more blessed. Amen. Right? And know that you're already delivered. State that we have been delivered from the power of darkness. That means sin has no control over us. God spoke to Cain. Say, you don't do what's right. Sin is at the door to control you. There's only one thing the Lord said in the Bible, that you rob God is your tithes and offerings. Nothing else. Amen. There are some people still there to do it. I know what they do. Because, you know, that money got extra expenses, they'll cut God's tithe. You know why you got extra expenses? Because you don't tithe. That's why the devil's stealing it somewhere else. They will have you spend somewhere else. If you take and put your first fruit is your tithes, you won't spend it. Amen. How do I know? I proved it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So we are delivered from Satan's kingdom, right? This is our inheritance. We inherited the kingdom of God to be part of that kingdom. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet or qualified, this is New King James Version, qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. The inheritance belongs to the saints. In the revelation of the light of God's word, you will know what is your inheritance. That's why it's partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. If you're not taught correctly, you don't have light. So you don't know what is their inheritance. A lot of children doesn't know they have authority over the demons and evil spirits. They don't know, especially how to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, because they don't have light in that area because they are not taught. Delivered from God's kingdom, verse 13, Colossians chapter 1. Who had delivered us, had, past tense, from the power of darkness. You know, they don't have this revelation. Always ask pastors to cast out demons, evil spirits. If you know you've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness, there's no evil spirit again. Unless you open the door, you rob God of tithes and offerings, the devil will be crouching at your door. Amen. Now, prosperity is conditional. Amen. It's conditional. Right now, you cannot continue to rob God on your tithes. Translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. That means He's been transferred, translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. That's our inheritance. We are in His kingdom. We inherited His kingdom and be part of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not in darkness. We don't live in darkness. And darkness has got no control over us. Don't open the door. Amen. Keep the door closed, right? Would you open your door to your house, you know, your big house, knowing that the devil wants to come in? You won't. Amen. And verse 13 does not say God is going to deliver us. It says He had already delivered us. So who else needs deliverance? You don't have the truth of God's word. Now, you know why I still teach the same? Because it can slip. You can lose it. Amen. And devil will oppress you, and it shouldn't be one. Because you are delivered from the kingdom of darkness. It's translated as this, our inheritance. I mean, you inherit billions from your father. You better know you have that billion. But don't squander it. You read about the story, the son lost $1.9 billion in investing in property in China. Now the father is trying to remove him. And the Greek word translated as power here means authority. In other words, we could read the scripture like this. Who has delivered us from the authority of darkness? Who is in darkness? Satan and demonic spirits. Amen. Delivered us from the power of darkness. The word darkness, the power is translated as authority of darkness. That means Satan, demons, and evil spirits have no authority over you. You have authority over it. But don't open the door. He has translated us. Now the word darkness means everything that Satan is. The kingdom of Satan. Darkness is the kingdom of Satan. You're no longer in the kingdom of Satan. So you're not under his authority. So what deliverance you need? And they always, wow, in China, always cough out unclean things. You need to be delivered. You know, the preacher will come. Wow, man, very spectacular. He got nothing else better to do because he doesn't know the truth. That's why Jesus said, know the truth. The truth will set you free. Know what is yours. Your inheritance. You have it. God's blessing is your inheritance. Jesus died, you know. You think this is the law of the government. You write the will. When your parents die, you inherit. No, that's from God. The Bible says Jesus died and we inherit. Somebody needs to die so that we inherit the will. It's in the Bible. And Jesus died so that we may inherit all his blessings. Amen. But of course, you lazy, sit at home, do nothing. You know, every day just watch those dramas. You're going to be poor, right? And you don't do what is right, you lose your job. Right now. You don't do what is right, you know, not just about tithes and offering. You don't do what is right, you get fired. And no point praying. You don't do what is right, no point praying. Useless. Amen. Very simple. Don't talk about the corporate world. Church, same thing. You think they pay, do nothing, right? They don't do what is right. I just remove them from their payroll in this church. So darkness means everything that Satan is, the kingdom of Satan. But in Christ, we have been delivered from the power or the authority of Satan's kingdom. So we've been delivered. He has no dominion over us, no authority over us. We have authority. So why you still need to be delivered? Know the truth, you are free. Amen. The problem is a lot of preachers in China go to the churches and preach. They don't want to know the truth. Delivered from Satan's kingdom. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. In whom, that's in Christ, we have. We have is continuous present tense. We have redemption. That's our inheritance. We have redemption. Healing is part of redemption. Spiritual death is part of redemption. Prosperity is part of our redemption. Redeem us from poverty, sickness, and death. There's three major redemptions. Because these three things are written in the law of Moses. And we have redemption, not going to have, through the blood, even the forgiveness of sin. So the forgiveness of sin is part of our redemption. He continued to cleanse us, continued to forgive us, but of course we need to repent, you get what I'm saying? Right? So in other words, Satan cannot lord it over the believers, for we have been redeemed, redeemed. Redeem means Jesus paid the price. We owe the devil. That Jesus paid. He said, okay, I'll pay for them. He paid with his own life. He went to hell on our behalf. Amen. So delivered from Satan's kingdom, we are qualified by the Father. He qualifies to receive our inheritance. All right? He delivered us from darkness, translated into his kingdom. He redeemed us through his blood. Amen. We have redemption. What's in the redemption? If Jesus doesn't know how to teach, then they think, oh man, healing is not God. Sometimes God heals, sometimes he doesn't. Who says so? That's part of redemption. I have it. That's why it's consistent with the word that says, by his wounds, you were healed. When were you healed? Were healed. On the cross, you were healed. Before you were sick, you were healed. Then when you're sick, just receive your healing. Amen. Right? If you are delivered, then there's no oppression. Amen. Let's look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. Word of their confession. You don't keep your mouth shut. Amen. You confess the word. You confess what you believe. You confess what you have received. Amen. You overcame him. He didn't say overcame him by prayer, by the blood and the testimony, word of your testimony. Amen. We pray in tongues, we speak to God. Pray in tongues, devil don't understand. Amen. So we overcome him by the word of our testimony. When we confess our testimony, we overcome him. He'll bombard us, right? He'll bombard your mind. You overcome him with the word of your testimony. Amen. So the blood of Jesus is the basis for our victory, but you have to add your testimony to it. Amen. You get healed, don't keep your mouth shut. Right now. You got blessed, you got promotion, you got a new job, you keep your mouth shut. The devil, he come against you. He knows that he got no authority, but he will try. Amen. You have to stand your ground against the enemy. How you stand? By the blood of Jesus. I have the blood of Jesus over me, and I confess what I believe. Amen. I'm blessed. I'm more blessed than when I work in the corporate world. This church is more blessed than we just started. Amen. So, when you overcome him by the blood of Jesus, you are thanking God for the blood of Jesus. It always covers you, cleanses you, and you confess what you believe. You overcome him, not through prayer, but we need to pray. Amen. When you confess, the word is the authority over Satan. Of course, your confession must be confessing in line with the word, lah. Right or not? Amen. Did God give you this job? Just thank God. Ask God for wisdom. You didn't ask him for wisdom. You do the job. Of course, there'll be challenges. But he gave you this job. He knows that he will enable you. First thing, you have his grace to take that job. Amen. Second thing, you ask him, he'll give you wisdom to handle every issue that comes. Thirdly, of course, your natural ability, natural knowledge that you don't have, you're going to take up the job that doesn't suit you. You ask for trouble. Correct? Amen. I know how to use AI, but you ask me to go develop. I learned the language. It's obsolete long ago. It's Prolog. They used to write AI. And now they say, don't know what they use. I cannot even remember. I must go for Skill Future. Amen. So you stand your ground against the enemy with the confession of faith in God's word. Because Satan is the god of this world, and he will try to have authority over you. Amen. You speak God's word. Because remember, the first key is the integrity of God's word. Amen. It's absolute. Satan will try to exercise his authority over you in this life. But you simply have to know that you have been delivered from the power of darkness and from the authority of Satan through the blood of Jesus. Amen. And know, Christ is the head, right? He's the head of the church, and we are his new creation, and we are the body of Christ corporately, and we are the body of Christ individually. Amen. We are members of the body of Christ. That's a part of our inheritance. We inherited to be part of the body of Christ. Amen. And now, why this is very important? Simple truth. If you know that Jesus is the head, you are the body, then Satan has got no authority, right? Because it's Jesus' body. Amen. So no generation curse, no nothing, no curse at all. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. So Satan has no right to rule over the body of Christ. In other words, Satan has no authority to rule over me. I'm part of the body of Christ. Amen. That means you take control. Don't let Coke rule over you. I must drink Coke. So Christ is the head of the body. He is the one who is to rule and have dominion, to dominate his own body corporately and individually. Amen. You allow him. Satan cannot have control over our lives. Amen. Including your body. Amen. Including your finances. All the blessings of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We overcome him with the word of our testimony, of confession, and the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And another inheritance is we've been redeemed from sickness. Our body is his temple, and we can stand against the attack of sickness, and healing is our inheritance. Amen. In other words, you decide you want to die of sickness or you want to die of old age. Just simply check out expired, right? Amen. You know, if you live for nothing, you get zero. At least you live for everything, you receive half, it's still better than zero, correct? You must not believe that you will not die of sickness, right? Amen? In that case, you know, at least you believe you may get there, you know, without dying of sickness. But if you don't believe, you always believe you will die of sickness, you end up dying of sickness. You must not believe that you won't die because healing is your inheritance. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Do you not know that your body is God's temple? No, not about your spirit. Actually, our spirit and our bodies are the temple of God. Temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, you, the spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you, in your spirit. But your body is a temple because it houses your spirit. It's God's temple. In other words, it doesn't belong to the devil. The devil cannot put sickness on your body. Everyone say, I'm healthy. I'll live long, long life, healthy life. I refuse to be sick because sickness is of the devil. And my body is God's temple. And the devil cannot put sickness on God's temple. Make sense? And the Holy Spirit is in you, in your spirit, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. Guess what? If your body belongs to God, will He heal it? Of course. Will He keep it healthy? Yes. Amen. If sickness ever gets into your body, just think that this is God's body, God's temple. Thank you, Lord. Lay hands. I'll receive my healing. Amen. Because it's not my own, it's His. You know why people don't get healed? Because they don't believe it's God's. Secondly, they don't listen to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit say, go and get your surgery. They don't listen. They're afraid of surgery, afraid, fear. That's what the devil would kill you. How did he kill you? He put fear in you. No, you're afraid. Don't go for surgery. You're afraid of this, afraid of that, afraid of this, afraid of that. Yeah, don't go there, die young. Right? So, healing is part of inheritance. Why? Because that's his temple. And spirit, now this is talking about our body, his temple. It's not your own. It's his. He will heal it. Amen. Healing by faith is the grace of God, unconditional. That's why that scripture, you know, after the grace revolution, this stands out more. We come before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help my body to recover. Grace means unconditional, unearned, unmerited, means unconditional. He will give it to you because it's part of your inheritance, healing, blessing. I expect you all this year to prosper more. I expect this year to be more prosperous than last year. Amen. And I'm very careful with my tithe. When I sell something, I calculate the profit. I make sure I transfer and pay my tithes. Some people say, I don't know how much profit I make. You know what's the problem with you? You don't know how much profit you make? You're not diligent in tithing. If you're diligent, you make sure you know how much you make, and you tithe from your profit. Amen. When I sold a HDB flat, first thing we do is we tithe. When we got an envelope money, we tithe. When I invest, my wife every year will calculate how much ang pao we receive. Did not minus off how much we gave out. How much we receive, she said, tie. Some people say, I don't know how much you make from this investment. I use spreadsheet or to tablet.
1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. For you are bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Can a sick body glorify God? No. Healing is your inheritance. Free from oppression is your inheritance. Amen. How you glorify God? With a sick body, does he want a sick lamb to be offered to him? No. He wants a lamb that is without sickness and blemish. 1-year-old lamb. That's what he told Old Testament. You don't sacrifice to me the sick one. Don't give me expired food. Nobody does. I know. I'm just saying. I think in early days, you know, they say, Pastor Kenneth Hagin, these are some of the utensils. I say, man, chip here and there, you know. I say, oh, give me all the chip utensils. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Your body, now, before they say the body is a temple and the Holy Spirit is in you, so your spirit is also the temple. Does he want a sick body? No. Get your healing easy. Amen. So Jesus bought our spirit and body with the price, so glorify God in our body and spirit, which are God's, belongs to God. Amen. So ask yourself, every time, don't care what hits you. Don't get no fear. Don't get no fear because God give you a job. Right now, don't care what sickness. Wow, man, this is deadly. Who cares? It's God's temple. God's healed. Also, that doesn't mean you can't eat all kinds of rubbish, you know. So does God get any glory out of the devil dominating us physically and with sickness and disease? No. Could God get... Then you ask him, Lord, this is your temple. What kind of temple you want? You want a healed one or you want the dominated by the devil one? If you don't want the devil dominating temple, then... Thank you, Lord. Let my body be healed right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, today is Holy Communion. So it's correct. So does God get any glory out of the body, which is a temple of the Holy Ghost, being deformed or afflicted by the enemy with sickness or disease? No. So we learn to take a stand against. Now, this is exactly what you must learn, to take a stand against the attack of the body, especially when you get healed. You must stand against it. How you stand? The word of your testimonies. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. No, I'm healed. Whatever in the past, I've recovered in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll live long, right? With long life, He'll satisfy me. Amen. That's how you stand. You stand against anything, attack of the body. Just as quickly we could stand against any of Satan's attacks, we can stand against. Don't yield to fear. First thing, you know, when you get any medical report, the first thing, the devil will put fear. Oh, man. Oh, no, that's where you need to stand. You need to stand against. It's God's temple, it's not mine. So ask you, will God heal? Of course He will heal. Amen. Those teachings, sometimes God heals, sometimes God doesn't heal. It's a lie of the devil. You need healing, deliverance? I've been delivered.
Amen.
So we see Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 reveals that we overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. That's why Holy Communion is very important. We remember His blood. Amen. And we remember His body. Right on. What Jesus' body did for us on the cross. When we confessed it. That's why we don't take Holy Communion lightly. You better don't. When I pray, you better say amen. 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 Agree with me in faith. Because there's power in Holy Communion because of confession. When I pray, it's my confession of my testimony. I testify what Jesus did on the cross with His blood and with His body for our healing. Praise God. Thank you, Father. You praise. So we have been delivered from the power of darkness. So we can thank God. Colossians 1 verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us qualified to be partakers of the inheritance. So we can thank God, we can partake of the inheritance right now. Don't inherit in the future. We have an inheritance now. Amen. So our present inheritance is we qualify. Jesus died, rose again, we are born again, we qualify to partake of all the inheritance. And it's been delivered to us now. We're not going to get it soon. Now, finances and healing is different. Healing, we can get it now. Finances on earth, you need to get it from the earth. Even though the blessing is from God, right? You need to get it on earth. Finances is not in heaven. It doesn't rain, sing dollar down, right? So you need to get it on earth. Get it on earth. There's natural things involved. Human involved, you know. Involved your thinking. Involved your, you know, you don't find a job. Sit at home lazy. Of course, you're not going to inherit anything. Financial blessings. Amen. And then you need to build your wealth. Amen. Unless your father passed it down to you. That way, you don't know how to keep the wealth. You may squander all your wealth, right? So you think you pass all your wealth to your children. Wow, easier pass it on. You better teach them how to keep their wealth. You know, they squander all your hard work. But anyway, if you die already, you're going to be with Jesus. You don't care, lah. Right? Lah. You don't care how much you squander, lah, you know. So our present inheritance, we are translated. We are in the kingdom of God, son. In the kingdom of light. Amen. And we are overcomers now. We can overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, so the blood of Jesus. And we have the authority. We can overcome. We just need to close the door. And the word of our testimony is enough. You know, every Sunday when the word of God is preached, that's the word of His testimony. You're under the covering of the word of His testimony. That is God's word. Amen. We are delivered from the authority and power of darkness now. We are translated in the kingdom of His dear Son now. We have deliverance and redemption from the hand of Satan now. We can now overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. In the name of Jesus, the authority we have, that's part of the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Now, and we can glorify God in our body now and in our spirit. That means anybody who is sick now, in Jesus' name, receive your healing. Amen. Thank you, Father. When you worship Him, say, Lord, oh, I worship You. Sickness goes, healing comes. Praise the Lord. Because you are God's temple, the devil cannot trespass. His body belongs to God. Because our body belongs to God. And another reason why we cannot trespass our body with sickness and disease, because Jesus bore our sickness. Every curse or oppression of sickness and disease was laid on Jesus on the cross. Fulfilling Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. Jesus was never sick. Then how did He bear? He bore the oppression of sickness. Sickness is spiritual oppression in the first place, manifested in the physical body. So it's the oppression of sickness. What's the oppression of sickness? Satan, the power of sickness and disease, was laid on the spirit of Jesus, and He rose against it, overcame it. He was not physically sick. Sickness was not manifested in Jesus' body, but the power of Satan, the power of sickness, was laid on Jesus' spirit, not on His body. That's why His body was never sick when He was on earth, right? How did He bore sickness and disease? Sickness is an oppression of the devil. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 tells us, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, going about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. So every sickness is an oppression of the devil. It's a spiritual oppression that's laid on Jesus, and Jesus overcame the oppression right now. Right, that means in your spirit, you already overcome. You have overcome every sickness, every oppression of sickness. Now get your healing in the physical body. When it manifests in the physical body, that's where it needs to be healed. Get it from the doctor or get it from the power of God. Amen. But how you get it? Believe that you are healed. Believe that you already overcome the power of sickness.
Oh man, this deadly man.
You're succumbing to it. First, you must just say, no, I've overcome. Amen. Because sickness has got no power over my body. Now, let's go get your healing. Your body needs to recover. So sickness has two aspects. Spiritual aspect, natural aspect. Spiritual aspect, Jesus overcame. Right now, He bore our sickness and disease. He bore the oppression of sickness we need not bear. We have authority over the oppression of sickness. But now get your physical healing. Amen. That's why don't let anyone tell you, don't take medicine, don't go for surgery. You slap that person, whoever say that to you. Say, pastor, say so. So in pastor's name, I slap you. And he come to me, say, pastor, you told him to slap you. Yeah, I told him in Jesus' name to slap you. Amen. Don't let talk to you like that. Amen. If you don't go for surgery, don't go for medicine, you better hear from God for yourself. Amen. You better hear. Amen. If God is silent, don't listen to somebody. Oh, I got healed without taking medicine. He got healed without medicine. You will die without medicine. Same sickness. Somebody going to listen to somebody. In the first place, that person got fear. 60 plus, they couldn't get her healing. I knew she would die. She died. So it's not right for the devil to dominate any child of God with sickness and disease because we are his children. Our bodies are the temple of God. Now, healing is part of our inheritance. Temple of God and belongs to Him. Every curse or oppression of sickness and disease was laid on Jesus on the cross, fulfilling the scriptures that says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, this fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, He took our infirmities and removed our sicknesses. King James said, He bore our sickness. If He bear, then only for you to bear. In other words, get your healing, right? Fulfill Isaiah's prophecy. Jesus fulfilled. He bore the spiritual aspect of sickness and disease. He bore the oppression. If you don't deal with that, you cannot get your natural healing, physical healing. Because the doctor can cut away, the oppression is still there, it will manifest again. So you have to deal with the oppression of sickness. And the oppression of sickness is dealt with the name of Jesus. Lay hands in the name of Jesus, rebuke it, and after that, get your healing. Amen. But don't use to fear. Your doubt and unbelief will render my faith ineffective. Prayer of faith work for me all the time. Prayer of faith to work for you, you better get into faith with me. Amen. Unless you're a baby Christian. You're a baby Christian, your child in faith kids. Don't ask the child, your son in faith kids. You get your healing yourself. No, you better get it for him or for her. But you better teach him or her, right? As you grow in nature, we will teach. But it comes to a point, he has to get it himself. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You cannot forever use your faith on your children. Amen. Come to a point, God expects them to grow in faith and use their own faith. Come to a point whereby you can only agree with them with your faith. But they have to have faith and better have faith to agree with me. So, knowing this truth that Jesus bore our sickness, remove the diseases, truth will always free us from devil's curse and oppression. Amen. Healing is part of inheritance so that we can glorify Him with our body, and we need to stand against and resist sickness and disease. Amen. So why do you think I confess I'll live long? I'm confessing my word of testimony. Amen. I confess it. I'll live long with long life. He will satisfy me. Amen. Right? Don't wait till you need it, then you confess, oh man, my goodness, now. When things are going well, I'm blessed. I'll prosper more and more this year. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. You must stand. Word of our testimony, word of confessing. Confessing the word of our testimony, confess, is your stand against the devil. Amen. So, important you know the truth. Amen. Know the truth. Understanding the truth about redemption in Christ will free us from the curse. This knowledge frees us from the devil's curse and oppression. And this truth will set you free. Amen. Once you know the truth will set you free, then you can stand in authority. It empowers us to stand in our God-given authority against every work, anything of the devil. Then we live victoriously, right? Enable us to live in victory. Victory as Christ has secured for us. 7 keys to highest kind of faith. Knowing God's word, the integrity of His word. That means His word is absolute. When God speaks, don't change it. Amen. It will come to pass. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, know God's word, integrity of God's word, know your redemption, what you have. Next week, we will teach more on this. Amen. Meantime, we're going to take Holy Communion. Praise God. Sobro no cemente, de la morte nambra. Amso cotemende, emske, ne ocho naha. Indoho, prescende, sombrahi, iskamara. So, mezgidimbra. Ying star. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. O remenska amrastu kepsika denemenske imbrosohe iskamai haya. So just now we studied, redemption is part of inheritance. We're translated from the kingdom of darkness. That means there's no oppression. I'm free from every oppression.
I'm free from every sickness and disease. I'm free from every curse of poverty. All of you are blessed. Say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed physically. I'm blessed financially. And I will not rob God's tithe. And I will sow my seed of offering so they multiply back to me. And devil, run away from my door. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.